Hello and welcome back to the Daily Weekly Podcast. We'll be sharing our thoughts on a variety of movies and TV shows, and of course we'll be discussing the latest entertainment news and plenty more topics just like this one. So if that sounds good to you, why not consider subscribing? I'm your host Bradley, and as well, the title of today's episode suggests, we're looking at, you know, former child actors who decided, actually, do you know what? This isn't for me. But before we get into the real meat and potatoes of today's episode, I just want to pray and hope, fingers crossed, touch wood, that this episode is not going to be deleted by me when I clear out some files to edit it later, and that it's actually backed up. I've checked the settings, and here we go, fingers crossed, so I'll only have to record this episode once, unlike last week where I had to redo it, and it was very close for time, but I got there in the end. So yes, here we go, let's get straight on into it. So the first child actor we're going to look at is Mara Wilson, who you may know for her roles in Matilda and Mrs. Doubtfire. Well, she decided that, you know what, acting isn't for me. So, as I said, Mara Wilson is best known for her childhood roles in the 1990s movies Mrs. Doubtfire and Matilda. However, the star surprised many when she retired from acting at the age of 13 after altering her aspiration. Which is fine, you know, we could all change our mind, especially when you're at a young age like that. Like, I wanted to be all sorts of things when I was a kid. Like an actor? That's still kind of up there. TV show presenter? Yes, definitely. Okay, maybe my aspirations haven't changed that much. But at one point, I did want to be a mechanic, and I know absolutely nothing about cars. So, don't really know where I got that one from. But, yeah, I don't know. I can't see me, you know, putting on my overalls, getting under a car, doing an oil change or whatever. I don't even drive, so maybe being a mechanic isn't the best thing for me. Wilson has since become an acclaimed author, with one of the books being like an autobiography about her status and her lifestyle as a child star. In her 2016 book, Where Am I Now? The True Stories of Girlhood and Accidental Fame, Wilson explained that as she got older, she found their appearance didn't fit in with what Hollywood wanted. Oh, that's really unfortunate, especially, I mean, it's still true today though, isn't it? Society puts so much pressure on people for the way they look, especially women and girls. I mean, it happens to guys too, but less so. The pressure on people that they feel like they don't fit in or they have to change themselves, and rather than change herself, she's like, actually, do you know what, I don't really fit in this scene anymore. I need to remove myself from this situation. And she shouldn't have had to do that. Just imagine the career she could have gone on to have if societal pressures weren't in place. Why is it that you have to look a certain way and be a certain way just to make it big? That doesn't really set a good example for other people, does it? She wrote via People magazine, and I quote, "As I saw it, I had three choices. Get cosmetic surgery, go out on auditions for the cute and funny best friend characters, stay the way I was and go for the meager character actor roles for young women, or accept myself and give up the idea of Hollywood film acting career for good." Wow. Just imagine being a 13-year-old kid having to come to that at that crossroads, essentially. Like, what do I do here? I've got these choices. I don't really want to leave. I don't want to go back the way I came, but the options in front of me requires too much change, or, you know, accepting something lesser than what I am capable of, just because of the way I look or the way I fit in. Oh, that's what a great mood this has put me in so far. It's just sad, to be honest with you, and disappointing. Like, why? Why did it have to be that way? But with that said, she did appear in an episode of Broad City and has done some voice work over the years. Yeah, I think she's done a few minor roles. She's kind of, you know, dipped her toe back in it. Well, because she only did like Mrs. Doubtfire and Matilda and amongst other things, but those two are her biggest hits as a child star. I mean, she was also in Miracle on 34th Street, which I watched the first time this Christmas. That was a really great film, but and we're not talking about Christmas films this time of the year. It's a shame. I mean, she'll always be known as the girl from Matilda, really, wouldn't she? But what could have been, eh? And speaking of what could have been, we're on to our next child star. Yes, that's right. Of course, you know, out of all child stars out there who no longer act, I think this name has to be up there quite highly. One of the earliest that I've got on my list today. Peter Ostrom, who played Charlie from Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory, the 1970 version of the film. After playing the titular character Charlie in Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory, Peter Ostrom decided to quit the show business. When still a child, Ostrom met a veterinarian visiting his home, and he was so inspired he decided to follow in the footsteps and currently practices out of New York. So he left the lights, camera and action behind for a career in, you know, he became a vet, you know, that I can't say the whole word, veterinary work, with a focus on larger animals, yeah. So Peter Ostrom was only 12 years old when he was scouted by talent agents for his role as Charlie Bucket in Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory, and, you know, he says he has a good experience doing the film, but he didn't want to sign a 3-picture contract and get locked in. And this is the first time I'm learning about it. I didn't even know that they were doing, like, there were sequels to the books and things, and I think one of them was like made and another one was not quite finished or something, but they wanted to make more movies. I didn't even know that was a thing back in the 70s, like multi-picture deals, and you know, that could have been the Willy Wonka cinematic universe, but he didn't want that. As a kid, you kind of want to have some flexibility and freedom to do other things and, you know, other roles, but in being faced like, here, sign this contract, you're going to do 3 films with us. And it's like, oh, that's a lot of pressure, that's a lot of work. So I can understand why he didn't want to sign up for that. But it wasn't completely over, because in 1990 he began doing these school talks about his experiences and things, and he became a subject of interest again in 2005 when obviously the Johnny Depp-led film Charlie and the Chocolate Factory came out, which, you know, you get people who like, oh, this one's better, no, that one's better. I like them both. They're both very different. I like the weird and quirkiness of the 2005 Tim Burton Johnny Depp film, and I'm fairly certain, I mean, I could be wrong here, but I'm fairly certain he hasn't done acting roles, no voice work, absolutely nothing. Like, that career is behind him. He does still, like, I think he does a few Comic Cons or, like, conventions and things, and, you know, these occasional talks about his experience, but that role was not for him, and he's had a happy and successful career being a vet, and he received a Doctorate of Veterinary Medicine from the Cornell University College of Veterinary Medicine in 1984. There you go, there's a little fun fact for you to round that one off. So next up on the list, I've got Ariana Richards, who you may know played Lex Murphy in the Jurassic Park and the Lost World Jurassic Park movies back in the 1990s. So Ariana Richards shot to movie stardom following her breakout role as Lex in 1993's dinosaur blockbuster Jurassic Park. Despite continuing to sporadically work in the industry, Richards is now an award-winning impressionistic painter. While she appeared in a TV movie in 2013, there was a long gap before that. Ariana is now an artist who primarily does portraits with oil paint. Her paintings usually, that doesn't quite make sense to that. I've just said she primarily does portraits, but immediately after, in my notes, I put her paintings usually of landscapes and figures. Well, I guess she's an artist, she can paint what she likes. But the style she does, it tends to be like the impressionistic style. So that's pretty cool. I'm not really an artsy man myself, but I've heard of that term before, I think. And in October 2005, she won first place in the National Professional Oil Painting Competition, sponsored by American Artist Magazine. There you go, that's another little fun fact for all the fun facts in the Daily Weekly Podcast. Just, this is some good quality content. But yeah, I mean, I haven't got too much more to say about that. Oh, I wish she would have came back for Jurassic World Dominion. You know, they got the other characters back. I'd just find a way to weave her in, even if just a cameo, that would have been really good. Same with the actor who played her brother. I don't know if he's still acting. I probably should have looked into that. But get the kids back in. They were such a big part of the first movie. You know, that started it all. They should have been there for the last movie, I think, if you got, you know, the others back as well. But that's just me. So we're coming up to the last one on my list. It's a bit of a shorter list compared to our usual episodes, but that means there's always some goodies for next time. So make sure you're tuning in to, you know, coming up episodes. Who knows what they might be. But here we are with Jack Gleeson, who you probably most know him for his role as Joffrey in Game of Thrones. Now, I've only seen a handful of Game of Thrones, I think the first 2 seasons, or I'm like halfway through season 2. And I started that pretty much around the time season 5 came out is when I first started watching it, and then I just haven't caught up to it. But I've heard a lot of bad things about the ending, so do I really want to invest my time to be disappointed by the final season? No, I don't think so. Jack Gleeson retired from acting, but now it sounds like he might be making a return. Back in 2014, the then 21-year-old told Entertainment Weekly that I just stopped enjoying it as much as I used to, after he left his role as Joffrey in Game of Thrones. He also went on to say, and now there's this prospect of doing it for a living, whereas up until now, I was always doing it for something I did for recreation with my friends, or in the summer for some fun. I enjoyed it. When you make a living from something, it changes your relationship with it. It's not like I hate it, it's just not what I want to do. Which I suppose, you know, you turn a hobby into a job, there's more stress with it and that sort of thing. But then they also say, if you do something you enjoy, you never work a day in your life. So there's that trade-off. But, you know, being an actor, there's a lot of pressure, I imagine. I wouldn't know, but there's a lot you have to do. It's more than just turning up in costume and saying a few lines. After taking a few years off, Gleeson returned to the small screen where he appeared in the BBC show Out of Her Mind, as well as some smaller independent theatre productions and minor film roles. So I suppose compared to the others, he's kind of come back a little bit more, but there was a time where, like, no, absolutely not, I'm out, I'm not part of this anymore. It was fun back then, but I want to do something else. Although he has kind of slowly been a bit more selective with the roles that he wants to do, which is totally okay, you're allowed to do that. And, you know, I don't know if he's got a little side hustle going on, if he's got like a real job where he's working in a bakery or something, or in Tesco's stacking shelves, and on the weekend he's out doing a theatre production. Maybe he does that. There are plenty of people who do that. But he just wants to have a bit more control over what he wants to do in his life, and that's totally cool. I'm the same. That's why I'm trying to get this off the ground. And that is the main section of this episode done. So yeah, it was a bit of a shorter list than usual, but as I said, there'll be plenty more next time. But now it's time for some of the recent entertainment news, and we're kicking it off with some Marvel news, because Liv Tyler, who played Betty Ross in the Incredible Hulk movie way back in 2008, well, she's coming back next year for Captain America New World Order. Well, obviously, this is the new Captain America film with Anthony Mackie, who is now Captain America. He's not Falcon anymore. That's being played by somebody else. Not recast, but like a new character has been given the mantle of Falcon. I think it's like Danny Ramirez or something. I can't remember. You have to see Falcon and the Winter Soldier to find that bit out if you don't know. But yes, and it seemed like Captain America 4, technically it's the fourth one, is, you know, it's like a bit like an Incredible Hulk 2 at this rate, because there are so many Hulk-related characters that are going to be in this movie. So we've got, obviously, Thaddeus Thunderbolt Ross, who is rumoured to be the president, and he's also going to be played by Harrison Ford now, after William Hurt passed away a few years ago. So that role's been recast. I'm almost a bit disappointed that they recast it. I don't like actors being recast. Obviously, this is nothing new for the MCU, because Hulk himself used to be played by Edward Norton, now played by Mark Ruffalo. Or, you know, Rhodey, James Rhodes, used to be played by Terrence Howard, now Don Cheadle. It's a normal thing, but they didn't do that with T'Challa, though, did they? Why is it one rule for one and not the other? But I wish they would have made Harrison Ford's character, like, as the brother of Thunderbolt Ross, you know? Like, I'm here to continue my brother's legacy. He, you know, and then he could be, like, an even more comic version of the character. Like, he could actually be the Red Hulk. And maybe they're going to go down that route anyway, but I want some separation, because it's really going to mark a turning point where it's the same character played by two completely different actors. And, you know, they're probably going to have different personalities as well, and it's almost going to be, why didn't they just make a new character? Or, like, I know it sounds cheesy to make him his brother or something, but it's Marvel Comics. You know, they could do this. People have superpowers, for God's sake. It's not hard to believe someone's had a brother. He died, and he's like, you know, it happens. It's a movie plot. I think they should have done that. But we don't know 100% what's happening right now. It's all just speculation and rumours. Apparently, Thunderbolt Ross is now the president of the United States. We'll have to wait and see. But anyway, as I started before I went off on this tangent here, Liv Tyler is back as Betty Ross. She used to be a love interest of Bruce Banner back in 2008. Obviously, she's the daughter of Thunderbolt Ross. So, in a way, it's almost like a bit of a reunion for these Hulk characters in this new Captain America film. Because there's another character coming back, and that is the Leader, who was played by Tim Blake Nelson in a smaller role back in 2008. And he's rumoured to be the villain of this Captain America film. So, that'd be interesting to see. Why there's so many Hulk characters? You know, one day Marvel will make a standalone Hulk movie. I know a few years ago there was a whole confusion with the rights. Who owns it? Is it Universal? Was it Marvel? I'm still not 100% sure. I don't think they are. So I guess for now, Hulk and Hulk characters will always be supporting characters until one day that they do make a Hulk movie. I mean, there's no official word if Mark Ruffalo is going to be in this new Captain America film, or She-Hulk, or Abomination. But I wouldn't rule it out at this point. If those other characters are in there, these ones would probably be there too. Even if it's just a cameo, I wouldn't be surprised. So it'd be interesting to see what Marvel are going to be doing with the future of their movies. Obviously, ultimately building up to a big multiversal war with Kang. Who knows, maybe, well, you just don't know what's going to happen these days, do you? Maybe Eric Banner will be back as Hulk after he played him in 2003. Wouldn't rule it out at this point, because other characters have come back. Actually, it'd be unfair if he didn't come back. He needs to, as a Hulk from a different universe. Oh, man. I hope they do that. I mean, that film was really bad, but they need it. And like Ben Affleck, back as Daredevil. Get him back. Have Daredevil fight Kang. That makes sense. Oh, I'm getting too sidetracked now. On to another news story, where this one's about a TV show, Wizards of Waverly Place, which I absolutely loved the show growing up. Maybe you did too, back on Disney Channel. And when Disney Plus first came out here in the UK, I did kind of take a little trip down like memory lane of nostalgia, watching these shows like Wizards of Waverly Place, Jesse, Sweet Life on Deck, Good Luck Charlie. I loved those as a kid, because I didn't always have Disney Channel. And obviously now Disney Channel doesn't even exist in the UK, so that's a shame. Kids these days will never understand. But Wizards of Waverly Place, Alex Russo, obviously the main character by Selena Gomez, was originally going to have a queer romance, as this was revealed by show writer, and they said, "I wish we could have played more with what was quite obvious to a lot of us, which was the relationship between Stevie and Alex. We weren't able to at the time, but it was pretty clear to all of us what that relationship was. That would have been fun. Disney Channel has had characters, and they did, but we got close as we could get. Pretty close. It was pretty much right there." I agree. So they've, you know, Disney have had, especially in more recent times, more, you know, representation for their characters and things. But I suppose back then, this is like, what, 2008, 2008, 2009, maybe. I can see how it would have been, you know, there might have been some higher-up execs who were like, well, no, you can't do that, but what's the harm in it? I don't get it. But if they did it today, if the show was still around, they introduced, you know, because Alex has typically had relationships with a few different guys in the show, then suddenly, oh, she has a queer relationship with a, you know, with another woman. Well, Twitter would go nuts. They would be like, oh, it's gone too PC. It's too woke. It's just a better representation of everyday life. I don't see what the big deal that was, but they couldn't do it. They tried and they couldn't. And the last bit of movie news is all about John Wick 5. Now, I know this hasn't been officially confirmed at the time of recording this episode, and I haven't even seen John Wick 4 yet. Hopefully I do get to see it soon. The director revealed it is still a possibility, and I kind of said, I think I said this last week, where just the numbers alone, money talks in Hollywood, and this film is, I think, let me just check my notes here. This film has already smashed box office records for all the previous entries in the franchise. It was the highest R-rated box office opening weekend since Bad Boys for Life back in 2020. So if that doesn't tell you something about how people are enjoying this film, I don't know what will. So Keanu Reeves has also said himself that he's happy to play the role as long as he, you know, for a long time, as long as the stories are worth doing. And I haven't seen the fourth film, but I'm beginning to see, as expected, some rumours and, like, spoilers almost of what happens to the plot on Facebook and online and things. It's just hard to avoid these days. It's pretty much impossible. The ending to the fourth film kind of wrapped things up nicely. So if they go back and do the fifth one, how are they going to do it? And as the director said, the plot is still a mystery, but they will find a way. Like, they found a way for 2, 3, and 4 because the first one wasn't meant to have any sequels, and then they built a whole franchise around it. So is making a fifth film really, you know, an impossible task? I don't think so. And especially where I think it's Universal who said that, yeah, we're not done with the character yet. Of course, when it's doing numbers like this, they're going to want more. And it's going to be the case of where they take a little bit break and then that's it. They're going to get to work on this film. Number 5, give it 2-3 years, it'll be out. And to be honest with you, I wouldn't be surprised if they even make a sixth film. I know that seems like asking too much, but I think that would be a real ending to number 6. Although, can you ever really end it? You always got to leave the door open somehow. This is John Wick, you know, the boogeyman, Baba Yaga. He always comes back. There's always something. So it would be good to see. There's a whole world out there. Get John out there because it's going to happen. Of course, they've got the spin-off film with the ballerina. There'll probably be more spin-offs. That'll probably get sequels as well. So the franchise is here to stay. Although I just hope it doesn't end up like Fast and Furious, where by John Wick 10, he goes to space and fights dinosaurs to travel back in time to kill Superman, you know? Let's not go that far. And from the entertainment news, let's go into the weird news with the not-yet-titled news. So I pre-selected a good old title here. Let's see if it reels me in. And it's something a little bit different, but I thought, like, oh, wow, that's a news story worth reading. So, my husband cheated on me with my sister. Now we're both pregnant with his children. Man cheated on his wife with his sister-in-law. And now they're both pregnant. Those kids. So they're going to be, what, cousins and also half-siblings? Oh, that's very confusing. Confusing family trees. They're very hard to explain to people in conversation. So, a heartbroken mum-to-be has been left in an impossible situation after discovering her husband cheated on her with her sister. And now they're both expecting his children. The pregnant wife claims she discovered her partner's unfaithfulness 2 months ago and he has tried to earn her forgiveness ever since. He told me her sister and husband were pregnant with twins, oh my god, twins, and begged for my forgiveness. He spoiled me with gifts, he offered to buy me an apartment, a new car, whatever I wanted. He said if she goes through with the pregnancy that he will have no part in it and he would only be a father to the child that I mother, she explained. Oh god. This is not family therapy. So he's going to completely abandon those other kids, twins, who were also the cousins and half-siblings to his wife's children. You see how messy this is? Why would you do that? Oh my god. I don't know what to say. That seems like a very difficult situation. I just feel sorry for the women involved. They didn't do anything wrong. Well, no. They didn't do anything wrong. The man that cheated in the first place. But then, you know, her sister cheating on her sister? Or at least, if you're going to have an affair, use protection, man. They make things for a reason. Okay, so the wife said she felt ready to divorce him and start a new life without him and her sister, until she found out she's expecting as well. Now the wife tragically feels that she has no choice but to stay with her partner for financial security. God, man, what a difficult thing. This is not a funny or weird news story. This is just unfortunate. Explaining her concerns in a post to Reddit, the woman wrote, "I can't afford a child on my own. He's been there for me financially since I was 20. I've never had to struggle on my own. I never went to college because I would never need to work with him in my life." Oh, dear. He has screwed up two people here. Yeah, that's really unfortunate. This is why you don't cheat. or if you do, don't do it with your wife's sister, and definitely use protection. That's my advice. But just don't do it. You know, save all the hassle. And now you got to raise all these children who are cousins and half-siblings. Yeah, the grass isn't always greener on the other side. On the one hand, the funny thing about this news article was that they've used a few stock photos with little captions here. And it's just so funny, so let me just read one out. So the first picture, there's this pregnant woman just sitting on a sofa, arm resting, looking kind of, across the room. She's looking at somebody. And the caption says, "The mum-to-be doesn't know what to do. Stock photo." I think it would be weirder if they did have real pictures of this woman posing. I know sometimes news stories get you to do that. There's a man in the bed in the background, and there's a woman kind of sitting on the edge of the bed, hands in her face, looking sad. And the caption says, "The woman is considering divorcing her husband. Stock photo." I just think it's kind of almost a bit of deadpan comedy. It's not supposed to be funny, but it is. Maybe it's just me, but I thought that was worth mentioning. And of course, let's check out some of these comments on the news article, because again, I found out people do actually comment on the news website itself. So somebody said, "Give him the push. How could he betray you with your own sister? They are all not nice people. These children are not cousins, but half-siblings. Time he kept his fly zipped." Oof. Somebody else said, "Wanting a divorce, but she opened her legs to him. Tough luck." Jesus Christ. Oh, that's a harsh comment. And then finally somebody said, "So win-win then." I don't know who's winning here. People are strange on the internet. I don't really get that. But there we go. That concludes this week's installment of the Not Yet Title News. Just an unexpected tragedy, to be honest. And hey, have you enjoyed this episode as a whole? Did you learn anything about these actors who ditched acting behind? Because hey, it wasn't for them. That's totally cool. Let me know in the comments, and I'll see you all in the next episode. Have a good week.